101.2. This is the Dave Jamison Show. Matt Iwanek, Jeff Walker with you here. Coming up at 1:40, John Price for sports from Sports Information Traders. We'll catch up with Jeff O'Neill, the O-Dog, momentarily here. It's -6 in Edmonton, feeling like -10 with the windshield, looking for a high of -3. This weekend, 8-7 on Saturday and Sunday. Mainly cloudy tomorrow, clearing in the afternoon, and then mix of sun and cloud on Sunday. And then you look all next week. Starts Monday at -5, but then the rest of the week just above zero. So we're in for some nice weather still here in the city of Edmonton. And we need that weather here just with how frustrating people are right now with the Edmonton Oilers. And joining us now, it is Jeff O'Neill, the O-Dog from TSN and Overdrive. And Jeff, since we last had you on the show last week, the Oilers, they go and they lose to the Sens on Saturday with a big collapse in the third period. They lose 6-0 to the Panthers yesterday, a game that where they had a good first period but just couldn't find that goal, and then the wheels fell under them later in that game. I feel like we've had this conversation a bit in the past, you know, when it's kind of the same conversation we kind of still have to have. And what's wrong with this team, and how do they go about fixing this?
Well, the vibe there, I mean, it's got to be lower than low. I continue to say it, that I can't believe that McDavid, he's been in the league 6-7 years, hasn't he now?
What would it be 6-7? I got to double check exactly how much.
Yeah, it's almost 7 years. 2015, he was drafted.
This is his seventh, yes.
I don't know. I don't anymore. And we go back to the goaltending, and you saw what goaltending can do last night. Bobrovsky in the first period was unbelievable, and what it does is allow this team to be comfortable, and then they can get to their game. So when the team doesn't start properly, Sender allows them that time to adjust and get to their game. When they get to their game, they're obviously great because they bowled them out 6-0. But if he's garbage in the first period, then who knows what happens to that Florida Panther team? Because they had many opportunities in the first period where it's like, man, Edmonton's going. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't work for Edmonton, and then some garbage goals went in. Like, that Barkov goal can't go in. I don't care how good a player Barkov is. Can't go in. A backhander from Sam Bennett, I don't know if that one can go in. It's just, I don't know. That's a mess, man. Like, I don't know. You look at people's faces and expressions, and, you know, not too often does a coach speech, a tip doesn't. But I don't know. Nobody's got anything to say. It's just, it is what it is. They can't get a save, and they can't get a win. And the team folds up shop when it's 2-0 or 3-0 because basically you know the end result. Because what's the sense of, what are you going to do, battle back to get it to 2-3-1, and then they score two quick ones with bad goaltending, and it's 5-1? It's just, I don't know. The root of the problem is just thinking that that goaltending – and fans at Edmonton were giving it to me when I talked to you a couple months mm-hmm. ago, talking about that goaltending. It's like, well, there it is right in front of you. So the idea of the season with those two guys is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. You look, the Carolina Hurricanes last year, they had James, and they got rid of both of them. They got rid of both of them and said, we don't like this. We want to change the look and the outlook. Why the hell didn't the Edmonton Oilers figure out a way to do that? And I don't know what that option would be with Koskinen, but did you really have to sign Mike Smith to a 2-year deal? I have no idea why. Love the guy. He's a competitor. Everybody loves Mike Smith, but he's 39 years old and he's not half as good as he used to be. And Koskinen is not very good. But you got to figure out a way to make that go away and bring in two different goaltenders. I understand Zach Hyman. They kind of circled him and made him a priority. He's a great player. But how the hell do you start the year with that goaltending? I don't know. But in saying that, that goaltending was a part of the team that was set off like a house on fire. It doesn't seem like too long ago. They were in Vegas taking a day off, watching a Raiders game, living it up on top of the Pacific and top of the West. And then all of a sudden, all the cards came falling down. I don't know. As Brian Burke said about the Leafs years ago, that's a 18-wheeler going right off a cliff. Well, and just, I don't know how much longer, Matt, before it's game over. Like, before, how many more losses before it's like this team's not making the playoffs?
Well, I guess the saving grace for this team right now would have to be that we're not even at the halfway point of the season. That there's a lot of hockey to be played, and there's a lot of chances to make up ground.
There is, but why the hell? What's Kenny Holland waiting for? I don't know. Like, is there cap restrictions or?
Well, they're right up against the cap.
Error like that. What?
They're right up against the cap. And, you know, he had $20 million to spend this offseason. That's one of the things. He's facing a lot of heat in this city right now because he had over $20 million to spend this offseason. He used it all up, and they still are looking for a goalie. They're still looking for a third-line center. They're still looking for a lot of the same holes that this team has needed for many years.
Yeah, like, they brought Kyle Turris in there. I don't know, great guy, but, well, why'd you have to do that? That's what I don't get. I understand, like, if you sit and – I consider myself somewhat knowledgeable because I played 800 games in the league, but it doesn't take, like, you can just sit and watch every night, like all hockey analysts do. Like a guy that works 9 to 5 can watch day by day, 2 or 3 games a night, and you start picking up on who can play and who can't and what teams need and what they don't. I don't understand how paid professionals can't figure that out. It's like, God almighty. That's some nonsense, boy.
Have you ever been in a locker room that was quite dejected? Maybe not as dejected as what you're seeing from the Oilers. Were you ever in a room?
Yeah, but they were the Carolina Hurricanes teams. They were bad teams. No superstars. Just not good enough. Not anywhere close good enough. Playing in Greensboro, just below average team. They didn't have a player in the world on it. That's a difference.
Well, not just the best player, but there's also another top player on this team, too, with Leon Draisaitl.
Two of the best players in the world, I said. Like, they won two. Like, maybe they're the two best players. Top five, anyway. Two of the top five players in the world on the same team, and they can't win a game right now. That's nuts. That is absolutely nuts to think about.
Well, and just look at it, just for some stats, this is from TSN Research. Just December 1st, the Oilers were 16-5, and before that, like, save percentage, they were 9-15, sixth in hockey. Their power play was 35%. Goals for per game was second in hockey at 3.81. But since that, when they've gone 2-11-2, power play is only clicking at 18%. They're only averaging about 2 goals a game, giving up more than 4, and the save percentage is .865, which isn't going to be good enough. But, you know, we know goaltending is a problem here. That's not something I think Ken Holland's going to be able to address in the coming days. There comes a point, unfortunately, like, are the players costing Dave Tippett a job here? Because how much longer can you go without something having to happen with this team?
You would have to think if they don't win tomorrow night, he's probably going to get fired. I thought he was going to get fired today. Just because it's like, okay, we can't let this thing completely slip away. And we mentioned that the best players in the world. You know it's guys a bit last night, but other than that, it wasn't like McDavid was... They're not exactly producing either now. So, it's like, I don't know, man. I got to tell you, next week, if we're going to do this hit, we got to have something fresh. We got to have a different idea because I go on about this so long. It's like, it's just so confusing and frustrating. I can't imagine the fan base there. They must be so pissed.
Well, actually, I'll say this. We had a call into the post game last night, which I think is probably where a lot of the city is. It's gone a lot from anger to just the sadness. People are just sad. Yeah, like they've been dealing with this for over a decade. They've been angry. It's getting closer to apathy. It's getting closer to just not caring and walking away. That's what they're getting closer to, and that's a dangerous position to be in as a franchise.
Yeah, it really is, especially with 90-something lacing them up and skating out there every night. I don't know, you thought this would be the heydays, like the last 2 or 3 years, including this year, like knocking on the door, conference finals, deep playoffs, maybe get not this. And I said a couple years ago, man, and people are like, you're such a clown, you're this, you're that. No, we're star players. Wake up one morning and tell their agent, hey, I don't play this anymore. You know what I mean? But who knows when players get that? And it's like, if people keep dumping on Draisaitl or maybe dumping on McDavid, maybe they make up a day and they're just like, I have to give this up.
With Jeff O'Neill, the O-Dog from a TSN and Overdrive. I got just one more somewhat on the Edmonton Oilers with you, Jeff. And there was a situation this week with Leon in a press conference. Did you ever have a situation with a reporter? Did you ever have a situation where you went at it with a reporter?
I had one time where a guy from NC State University basically asked me how it felt after an 8-1 loss, and I lost my mind. That's it. I just was like, how do you think that feels? It's 8-1 loss. And he wanted to ask me how it felt to lose that game. So that was the only time. Didn't exactly have a lot of reporters back then in Carolina.
And I don't think there's that much more these days, but hopefully they have more because they've got a good hockey team out there. Last weekend, you talked about how you might eventually jump on the Cincinnati Bengals bandwagon for the NFL. It seems like that's a perfect time now. Great win last weekend.
I think they got an upside chance of Tennessee. Feeling that Joe Burrow has some magic. I know it's tough. It's a tough chore. They got a great team. They're well coached. But who knows? It's going to be a great weekend. My wife's a vice principal and passed the market report cards this weekend. So I am just going to absolutely watch TV on my couch from the start of the weekend right till.
So what's the order for what you're watching? Like, there's NFL this weekend. You got NHL this weekend, and then there's some golf this weekend. What's the order of watch?
Well, it just depends on what I want the volume, because I have a big, like, 60, 70-inch, and then I have two smaller ones above it.
Okay. Oh, you got a nice setup.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not, like, glorious. It's not anything kind of crazy. It's just, you go to Costco, you can get TVs, and you put them on a nice wall unit, it looks sharp, so... Whatever is most important, it's like a hockey game or the end of the golf, that goes on the one with the volume, and then the other two are just moving up. So usually moving around, whatever's on. But busy times like afternoon hockey games, golf on, football, it gets kind of easy to keep up with everything. You got to have the app open with what games are going on and what's happening in sports.
Well, Jeff, you enjoy that weekend, and we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Okay, take care. Thanks.
Jeff O'Neill, the O-Dog. From TSN and Overdrive. I know his phone was cutting out a little bit in and there out at times, but I think we got the gist of a lot of what Jeff was saying.
I think he was pretty clear on some things, even though
Oilers,
on the phone
it's
cutting out there.
I feel it a little in the inbox. I'm not seeing as much of that anger that's coming in. There's a sadness. There's a disappointment. It's that situation where you never want to hear your parents say, I'm not mad, I'm disappointing you. And I think that's kind of where some of these Oilers fans are getting with this team, which is really, really, we're back at this point and after all of these losses. But yeah, it's Yaremchuk and I talked about it. I think you mentioned it earlier in the show too, Jeff. If you're this close to like one game is the decision between whether you're keeping a coach or not. Your decision's made. That's it right there. That's where it goes. Like, I'm a Laker fan, and they're talking about Frank Vogel, and it's clear. Okay, well, you've made your decision on Frank Vogel. If you're thinking it's going to go game by game, unless you all of a sudden rattle off six in a row, whatever it is, it's not going to change anything. So I think you're at that point where if things don't go well tomorrow, okay, that's fine. The change comes. But if they do, how much, like, is it then Vancouver if something doesn't go well? Is it Nashville? Like, what's that point? When are you just completely out of this, stop doing the day-to-day?
Well, and especially because the coach is on an expiring contract. Like, are they waiting because they think that maybe they'll bring Tippett back next year? Like, I don't understand what they're waiting for here. I don't see that there's any way that Dave Tippett is the coach of the Edmonton Oilers starting next season. I just don't see it. So what are we waiting for this year if we're already thinking that way?
We'll continue in the inbox at 10:12:60. Also, apparently Brad Marchand made some comments that I'll have to read into that we'll mention in regards to Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. We'll do that in the next segment. John Price for Sports Information Trader will be by at 1:40. He's Jeff Walker. I'm Adam Wanick. You tuned into the Dave Jamieson Show on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. 1:20. You tuned into the Dave Jamieson Show. Matt Awanek, Jeff Walker with you here on this Funk of Friday. We will get into the inbox 10:12:60. It's the James H. Brown Injury Lawyers inbox from James H. Brown. Alberta Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Before we do that, I know some people were texting this in earlier. I didn't see it, but finally I could comment on it because I have seen it and I've pulled it up. And that's Brad Marchand commenting on Leon Draisaitl and the Edmonton Oilers and spitting chicklets. They posted, I guess there was another jersey toss last night at the game. I missed that, but they posted on Instagram. We got another jersey toss in Edmonton, to which Brad Marchand commented saying, and fans wonder why McDavid and Draisaitl don't sign back there again. I'll say one thing on that. Like, I don't care that Brad Marchand wants to comment about other players around this league. I don't think he knows Leon or Connor that well to have any sort of insight and things like that. But if Leon and Connor aren't signing in Edmonton after their upcoming contract, it's not because fans are throwing their jerseys on the ice right now. It's because of the roster construction of this team and that they're not winning hockey games because of the roster construction of this team. So Brad Marchand want to get that part right, where it has nothing to do with, look, I don't agree. I don't approve of throwing your jersey on the ice, partly because they already got your money. If you bought a jersey, they have your money still. And there's chances are you're just going to go buy another jersey. So it doesn't really prove any sort of point. But that has nothing to do on players moving on from there. I'm not a Fire Tippett guy. Fire Holland. Wimpiest, least physical team in the league. That's on Holland, who refuses to add real size and toughness and physicality. Turris, Ryan, Ennis, Cahoon, Barry, Keith, all small. CeCe has some size, but not physical. Hyman is gritty, but will go to the net. But not physical. Fogle is a medium-bodied, but not very physical guy. That coming in from a G. The one thing I'll add to that and something is people were expecting that to be Zach Cassian. And a lot of people this summer just were up in arms about the idea of moving on or finding a way to get rid of Zach Cassian because, he's important to this team for that physicality and intensity. And once again, you're not seeing it from him enough. And, you know, I know you said earlier, Jeff, he's got to bring it, you know, maybe a fight or something. And I brought up the fight yesterday, too, and somebody texted in, which brings up a good point. He's been hurt the last couple times he's been in a fight, so there's no chance he's fighting again. So what does Zach Cassian bring you at 3.25 or whatever it is? What's he bringing you? Like, there was reports that maybe there were some teams interested in him. It seemed a little clear that they should have moved on from him this past offseason. I don't see how you potentially could move on from him this upcoming offseason. Who's going to want to take that contract? Who's going to want to take that player? He's not the player that he was before that contract, and now it's been a long enough. It's been 2 years since he signed that contract. He's not going to be that player, it doesn't seem like, anymore.
Well, and even if he's not fighting, he can provide energy on the bench just by being Zach Cassian, doing what Zach Cassian was known to do, and that is talking a big game out on the ice, intimidating the other players out there, hitting, banging, crashing, you know, do something out there. Don't just skate around the ice and wait for your turn to go back to the bench, and that's all we've been really getting out of Zach for the last little while. And I'm pretty sad about that because I do like Zach Cassian. I like them as a player. I like them. I liked his offensive game that he did bring. Like, it was never going to be the greatest offensive output ever, but he did contribute. But it was all the other things that he brought to the table. And those are the things that this team is missing. They're missing that guy to go out there and stir the pot on the ice. They don't have that. Zach Cassian, that is what you can do. That is what you can bring to the team. I'm not saying you've got to drop your gloves every game. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just go out there, lay the body on these guys. Make it a hard time for the other team to be on the ice when you're out there. And that's what we're missing from Zach Cassian's game.
I just missed the text I wanted to read. Darn. And we have a system where you could put it to the side. And I screwed up on that. Oh, here it is. Thank you. Well, I don't even know who I'm saying thank you to because you didn't even help me. Maybe Holland will not fire Tippett because he knows Tippett isn't the issue. Did Hitchcock help after the last firing? The players on the ice need to play to win using skill and playing with an edge. Holland is responsible for the crappy goaltending and soft plays. Well, now it didn't end. The rest of the season didn't go well. But when Ken Hitchcock took over the bench for the Edmonton Oilers, they went 9-2-2. 9 wins, 2 losses, 2 overtime losses. That's, to me, what this team needs right now. They just need that shift going the other way. Their season is, their trajectory is just losing. They just need something to put their ship on the right course. And they have talented players and enough of them that I think that they're a team that could fight for a playoff spot. Not a team that is necessarily going to be .865 save percentage, 4.13 goals allowed per game, an 18% power play, 2.33 goals for per game. That there's a situation where they just they're so fragile. You know, Jeff O'Neill was just saying there too that they're, you could see them, they're dejected, they're deflated. They need something to just get back on the right track. And sometimes that comes with that coaching change. So Ken Hitchcock, there's one where you bring it up. Did it go for the rest of the season the right way? No. But in that immediate moment, in why most people are sitting there saying you need that change to the shock to the system, 9-2-2 with Ken Hitchcock when he came in. That's the stuff that happens sometimes when you get the coaching change. You could all point, many people could point to Mike Yeo and the Philadelphia Flyers, and I'll accept that one. That sometimes that coaching change won't work. Sometimes putting the interim coach on the bench and maybe that even being the assistant coach doesn't work. I get that. But there's a lot of examples of it possibly working, or at the very least having that short-term work that you're looking for. And that's what I think this team needs more than anything else. Yeah, I think Dave Tippett is still a fine coach. I think he knows hockey. I don't think he forgot how to coach. But I think things have gotten so bad, and maybe he's gotten to a point where he's gotten the most out of this team, that they just need that new voice. And that's enough of that shock to the arm, shock to the system, shot in the arm, shock to the system, that turns this thing around. And the Oilers get back to winning as many hockey games maybe as they're losing. Maybe that's 500. Maybe it's a little better than 500. But 2-11-2? I don't think Glenn Gullitson could do that much worse than 2-11-2. In fact, two of those wins came when he ran the bench.
I think what scares me the most as a fan of the team is that nothing is being done. Like, nothing's being done. Like, no coaching change, no players being brought in, nothing happening. It seems like they're just comfortable rolling out the same team, the same roster, everything exactly the same every single game, and getting the same result. And then at the end of the game, they're like, well, I don't know why it's happening this way, or I don't know why we're not getting the bounces, or I don't know why this is happening. It's happening because that's the way the team is constructed. Yeah, you do need some confidence in there, and confidence would go a long way with this team. It really would. But you're not going to get confidence unless you break what is going on there already. And what's going on there already is this is a team that is losing a lot of hockey games. They're falling behind in the standings. The team itself can't pull themselves out of it. The coach can't pull them out of it. There is a lot going on here, and there's got to be that circuit breaker to say, hey, you know, this is a change we're going to make. It's going to shock you guys. It's going to give you a kick in the pants. And get out there and play some hockey. Until that happens, the team is literally just going to be, they're just going to be stuck in that rut. And how long are you going to be stuck in that rut until there's no chance for you to be in the playoffs anymore? And then if there's no chance of you being in the playoffs, you really got to look at people's jobs. The coach, the general manager, all the way up to Bob Nicholson. You got to look there, right? Because it's unacceptable. You've had these two superstar players for how long now, and you have not done what you need to do to get them a good team to go out and win on the ice. And until you do that, you know, you're going to be in the same boat. And are these guys going to stick around and wait for that? I doubt it. So what are you going to do? You got to start doing something, because this doing nothing after, you know, I think all of us wait for the day after an Oilers loss. Well, are they going to do something? Is the coach going to get fired? Is something going to happen? And then nothing happens. And then that's just more disappointment to all of us. It's probably disappointing to the players. Besides the fact that it might be Dave Tippett, you know, losing his job, it's got to be disappointing to him as well that nothing is going on here. It's just status quo all the time.
Hypothetical question, which goalie, maybe other pieces could the Oilers get if they went nuts and traded Draisaitl? I don't think anything during the season. Okay, like, you're not trading Draisaitl, you're not trading Connor McDavid. But on top of all of this, during a season that's, you're not, you know, if you have a goalie, why are you giving them up? You've got to have a few goalies if you're going to give up a goalie to get someone like Leon Draisaitl. So I you go get a goalie, great, that does solve something, but how big of a hole are you also creating with Leon Draisaitl now? Are you not just filling one hole and creating another one? A lot of teams go out there and get their goalie without giving up one of the best players in all of hockey.
You'll never win that trade. If you trade Leon or you trade Connor McDavid, you'll never win that trade. No matter what you do, no matter how many pieces they give you, you're never going to win that trade. You have to find other ways. That is what Ken Holland is paid to do. Find other ways to get these pieces on your team without giving away your best players. And how many years have we, how many times in Edmonton Oilers history have we watched the organization give the best player away in deals? Do you really want to go down that route again? I don't. So you need to have somebody in there making decisions that are going to get these pieces that complement these players instead of trading the best players to get the complementary pieces. Because then you'll have all those pieces, but you won't have the star that you need to really make things go.
I miss the Oilers from the late 90s, early 2000s. Not the most talented team, but they were fast and worked hard every game. They were a team you could proudly cheer for as a fan. I miss heart and soul guys like Smith, so Ryan, Jason, Mike Greer, etc. Hey, boys, I could do at least a 2-11-2 behind the bench. I heard you say that so-and-so was a coach that McDavid and Draisaitl like. Isn't that most of the problem now, that coming in from Hacksaw? That was saying, Mike Babcock, would he be a guy that works well with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? And look what happened in Toronto. Like, they had the star coach with the star players. It didn't go well. And when there's other options there, it's, to me, you don't look at this and see the problem being McDavid and Draisaitl. It's everyone else. So I wouldn't look at a coach that's going to come in and their big thing is to go after Leon and Connor potentially. I think that's where the problem comes from. Or that's not where the problem comes from. There's other spots to that. So no, I wouldn't bring in a coach that is absolutely going to ruffle feathers with the two best players in hockey. No matter who the goalie is, he would still have to play with the defense and teamwork of the Oilers. Let's just admit it. McDavid is an entitled brat, and his and Draisaitl's attitude is oozing through this team. You could feel their energy. What energy is that? I shouldn't have read that part. I mistake that on that first part there. But I don't think you could sit there at all and say that McDavid is an entitled brat. I don't think you could sit there and say Draisaitl is an attitude oozing through this team. What I see from Leon Draisaitl right now is a player who's frustrated because they've lost 13 of 15. And now as for that goalie playing behind that defense, well, there's a balancing act. Now that defense, when you have more trust in your goaltender, they'll have more confidence in themselves and they'll play better, which will help the goaltender in turn. And two, when you're getting that goaltending play, it'll paper up some of those mistakes from the defense. So, you know, when Mikko Koskinen started this year and somewhat Stuart Skinner, they were the sixth in hockey, 9.15 save percentage when they went 16-5. You can't have good goaltending and good defense on this team. It's been proven. But it's clear that the team doesn't have the confidence in goaltending, and that's where, when they go out, they're such a fragile group. I think we've talked a bit about somebody talking about us, and well, I love your show, but it's starting to show true that the Edmonton media is blaming coaches, players, and avoid the clear problem of this team. The Red Wine Club nepotism that Cates enables. Matt from Wasaga Beach. Well, one, there's nothing we can say really on ownership. Unless, again, you have a couple of billion dollars in your pocket. How are we? What is going to happen when it comes to that? But that old boys thing, it's kind of gone. They're not around anymore. It's been a new regime. It's Bob Nicholson who brought in Ken Hollins, and he brings in Dave Tippett. Now, you want to say that's Hockey Canada? And there's that connect, sure. And there's a lot of heat that's being given to Bob Nicholson right now, and there's going to be more moving forward. We get to an offseason, depending on what these Oilers do, we're going to be talking a lot about Bob Nicholson and Ken Holland. I think the station, we've done it quite a bit, talked about the moves that Ken Holland, how poor that it's been, and how we don't trust him making moves forward. But right now, we're going to look at how to turn this team around. And then for this season, and then we'll get into those problems later. But the red wine thing, that was Paul Coffey. That was a couple of other Oilers, former Oilers, who aren't around this organization anymore. So what are we talking about there when it comes to that? He's Jeff Walker. I'm Matt Iwanek. When we come back, John Price, Sports Information Traders. He will join us to talk some NFL, and we'll continue in the Inbox 10 at 12:60. This is the Dave Jamison Show on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. 1:41, this is the Dave Jamison Show. Matt Iwanek, Jeff Walker with you here. We will get back into the James H. Brown Inbox at 10:12:60. But joining us now, as he does every Friday, is John Price from Sports Information Traders, featured in Forbes, Yahoo Finance, and on national radio. We can get in touch with them online, sportsinformationtraders.com, or give them a call, 1-866-441-2711. John, what do you guys have coming up this week at Sports Information Traders?
Well, listen, this is an opportunity. There's four NFL games coming up this weekend. And last weekend, more people watched the NFL in a non-Super Bowl setting than ever before. Last week, more people in the world bet on NFL than ever before. And this week, it's going to be even better. And we've got four games this weekend. We've got four plays, one for each football game. And if you're a brand new client, which means you're not currently with us and you hear my voice, which means you're an Edmonton listener and you have a place to wager, you qualify to get these four plays from us at our website, sportsinformationtraders.com. It's only $149. You can purchase it at the website directly, or you can give us a call at 866-441-2711. But again, you can buy it directly at the website, sportsinformationtraders.com, $149. So very important that you understand there's all sorts of different wager size people out there. There's small players, 100 a game. There's larger players, $1,000 a game. This is not a qualifying offer, plain and simple. We want you to get on these four plays with us so we can show you a profit this weekend. Go to sportsinformationtraders.com.
This weekend, we got the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Buffalo Bills. Normally, we do a standard game chat with you for the game line, but you have an alternate play for this game.
Yeah, I have no choice because there's only four games, and the full game play here is part of our private play. So I'll give you a play within the play. Right now, the line is at Chiefs minus two over the Bills. The line opened at Chiefs minus 2.5. So with that number coming down, it means a slight edge in public money is on Buffalo. That's why the line's at minus two. Now, let's look at both teams. Bills coming off a dominating win over New England last week, and they've won five in a row. And I've talked about this before many times. What's changed about the Buffalo Bills? What's changed is they no longer concern themselves with the strategy of their opponents. They aggressively do what they do to win football games. And we saw it against New England last week. Josh Allen, very aggressive running, throwing the football. And New England needed smelling salts 20 minutes into that game because Buffalo is setting their own tone. I expect them to do the same thing this week in Kansas City against a Chiefs team that has now won 10 of their last 11 since starting the season 3-4. And what I find so impressive about the Chiefs is that regardless of how the football games start, they have the ability to compose themselves and settle in and do what it takes to win. Last week against Pittsburgh, in the Chiefs' first five possessions, the Steelers got him to punt three times, intercepted Patrick Mahomes once, and recovered a fumble for a touchdown to take a 7-0 lead on Kansas City in Kansas City. Now, a lesser experienced team might have shrunk in the moment. The Chiefs picked themselves back up and scored five straight touchdowns to blow out the Steelers. So we had two great teams here. Now, in terms of wagering, again, the private play remains a private play for everybody who's on board and for the people that sign up for this week for $149. But here is a play within the play. In the last five Buffalo Bills games, they have outscored their opponents 88-40 in the first half. They've been a start-fast team, just like we saw last week against the Patriots. This week, they're getting a half a point in the first half play. And I believe, not giving away who I think wins or covers, but I do believe the Bills are going to lead this game at halftime. Getting that half point seems like a little bit of value to give out to our radio listeners. So play to watch here. Take the Bills plus a half point over the Chiefs in the first half of this Sunday's games. For the people who were with us starting last weekend through the NFL playoffs, last week, 3-0 on Sunday, a great Saturday, a great Monday. We're on our way to four big plays right now this week. They are all available to you for $149 because you can hear me and you're an Edmonton listener. Go to our website. It's $149, sportsinformationtraders.com. We're running out of games, folks. Four games this week, two championship games next week, and the Super Bowl in a few weeks. This is your opportunity to springboard into the football offseason with a nice, sizable profit, and your investment is only $149. Go to sportsinformationtraders.com.
John, appreciate the time and enjoy the football this weekend.
Thank you.
John Price from Sports Information Traders. 1-866-441-2711 is how you can get in touch with them. News from the Edmonton Oilers, by the way, should update that once again. Kyle Turris, he has been placed on waivers by the Edmonton Oilers. They also placed Tim Soderlund on unconditional waivers with purpose of a buyout. He was part of the trade for Duncan Keith this summer, with Caleb Jones and Pick going the other way to the Chicago Blackhawks. Let's continue in the James H. Brown inbox, 10 at 1260. James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When from James H. Brown, a bridge of injury lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Babcock, not even an option. In 6 years in Toronto and Detroit, all first-round exit and one cup in his career. Not so impressive, Ken and Forts ask. I'm not going to defend Mike Babcock fully here. I'm not going to be someone that is saying, you know, he should be the guy that comes in here, because I don't believe that necessarily. Well, I don't. But how many coaches right now have at least one Stanley Cup on their resume? I don't know. That not all coaches have a lot of those cups. He also had three appearances in the Stanley Cup Finals. He went with the Ducks once. He went with the Red Wings and lost once, and he won with the Red Wings once. How many coaches out there have three appearances in a Stanley Cup Final? He's also the guy that ultimately got the call to run the Canadian hockey teams in 2010 and 2014. And 2010 was a big one because Canada failed miserably at 2006. There was a lot of pressure on whether they could rebound. It's easy to say, yeah, no, it's easy to coach Canada. 2006 wasn't easy. 98, we didn't win a medal. So I wouldn't fully discredit what he did in the past. Whether he can still do that, that's a different question. That's a different conversation. But the fact of don't discredit what he did in the past. You can't just look at his resume and throw him away completely. You know, and where this text comes in, give me Paul Maurice. And a lot of people want Paul Maurice. And that's where you could look at him. But he's never actually won a cup. So why do everyone want Paul Maurice? One cup is actually still pretty impressive. I'm not trying to discredit Paul Maurice there in that too. But don't look at, wow, just one cup. Okay. So that's what you're trying to achieve. People would just be happy with one cup right now in the city of Edmonton, wouldn't they?
Well, and I'm still not sold that Ken Holland is going to be the GM at the end of this year. Like, I think there's still a lot to happen here. And I know Babcock's name gets brought up a lot because he is somebody that has worked for Ken Holland before. But if the Oilers miss the playoffs this year, all bets are off when it comes to Ken Holland. I'm sorry, you know, like you only have Connor and Leon for so long, and you've had a couple of years to get something done, and you haven't got it done yet. So I don't think he's a lock to be back next year. Now, if they make the playoffs still this year, then you know what? Then that changes some things. Then maybe he gets another shot next year. But right now, that's kind of a big if. And I hate saying that. I'm a fan of the team. I think anybody that's listened to me since I started here at TSN knows that I'm a fan of the team. And so, like, the last thing I want is to watch this team lose. But that's what's happening here, and something has to change. Something has to get done, and Ken Holland has to step up here. If you want to be the GM of the Edmonton Oilers, and if you want to be the guy in charge of Connor McDavid and Leon on this team, you need to go out there and you need to make something happen. And I'm not saying that I want him to go sell the farm for a goalie. I don't think that that's possible. But something has to happen to shake up this team, whatever that is. Don't sell the future. Don't sell this year, because it's going to be... It's now gotten to the point where it's going to be a task for these guys to make the playoffs. It's not an easy situation they're in. So don't sell the farm for something that might not even happen this year, but do something. Do something. Show this team that they're not just out on an island by themselves losing hockey games anymore. Because I bet you if I was in that dressing room, that's how I'd feel. Because nothing's changed. And something's got to change with this team. And it's got to change right away.
It seems like they're getting ready for Evander Kane. That's the change that's coming. They tried signing Brad Malone from American Hockey League, but COVID issues preventing that from happening right now. It seems like with these moves too here that they're getting ready for an Evander Kane signing, doesn't it?
It does, and that just makes me more sad. Not that Evander Kane is a good hockey player on the ice, but when your entire team's playoff fortunes rest on bringing Evander Kane into the lineup, there's a problem there, and there's a deep problem there. He should not be the answer for any team. And if he's the answer here in Edmonton, what's going on here in Edmonton?
It's going to be an interesting game tomorrow night against the Calgary Flames. It's division rival. It's a provincial rival. Team's lost 13 of 15. Dave Tippett himself has lost 12 behind the bench. This team's in a tough spot. Mentally, they're just so fragile. You want to sit there and kind of go. You need that good, you know, start to the game. But they had that yesterday. It didn't work. I guess it's now you need that good start to the game and the first goal of the game and see where that goes to. At least there's also NFL coming up this weekend. What game are you looking forward to most? Is there a game you're looking forward to most, Jeff? For the National Football League.
You know what? I kind of want to see what the Bills are going to do.
Yeah.
I really do. But for me, it's going to be Cincinnati. I think I'm on that bandwagon. Yeah. I don't think they're going to get it done against Tennessee, but I want to see them win because that is a fan base that has gone through so much pain over the last few decades. The fact that they got their first playoff win, well, that's a big victory there, but I want to see them get another one, at least one more.
I like that. There's something about the Titans I like. I like Mike Vrabel. He seems like a great coach, someone you want to play for. They're going to get Derrick Henry. I love the story of Ryan Tannehill, who just wasn't doing anything in Miami, and then this resurgence in Tennessee. And I'm on their bandwagon for that one. But Bills Chiefs, like, it should be such a tight game, you would think, that I look forward to seeing how that one plays out. That's kind of the one. If I had a rank of the games I want to watch, that's number one.
I think that's what I'm really hoping for with the games this weekend, that they're good games, that they're not over at halftime, because there was just too many blowouts last weekend.
Two good games last weekend,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, out of all those games, there was only two of them. So, you know, for me, I just want to see some good games. Like, I want to see them close, maybe going down to the fourth quarter. But with that said, I'm going to, you know, do this, and I don't do this very often. Go Bengals, go.
It's like you're wanting to take a shot at me there.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that I'm sad that Tannehill's doing so well and the Dolphins are not.
So you're just trying to take a shot at me because I made a comment about Ryan Tannehill.
Maybe.
This relationship isn't going well, Jeff.
That's all right. That's okay.
The resurgence of Tannehill, LOL, it's called Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry hasn't been there for 8 games. Would he be 9 games this year? Still won football games. The guy can throw the ball. He's an NFL quarterback. I think quite a bit of teams would want Ryan Tannehill on their team right now. Wasn't the same case when it was with Miami. I'd like to thank our guests today, Jeff O'Neill, the O-Dog, Tyler Remchick, Daily Faceoff in Oilers Nation, John Price, Sports Information Traders. Coming up next, the Jason Greger Show with Jason Greger, Jason Shrudwick, Connor Halley. On behalf of Jeff Walker, I'm Matt Owanek. Enjoy the weekend of sports. We'll be back on Monday to recap it all.